Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is my end of my third week teaching through a new book that I've got entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. And I've mentioned this just every day that I've been teaching on it, but I'm really excited about this book because what this is a summary of 16 of the books that I've written. There's 16 chapters in this book, and each chapter summarizes another teaching that I have an entire book on. And I am really excited about this concept because there's a lot of people that just get bogged down in the details, and they never get the big picture. You know, in a sense, this is like drawing a picture and drawing the outline, and you see what the picture is, and then when you go into more detail is when you color in all of the details inside. But if you didn't have the big picture, you know, you could get outside of the lines. You might miss how these things all fit together. And I really think that this is going to be a tremendous benefit to people to just get an overview of 16 of the major subjects that God has taught me. And I think that this is going to be a real blessing. And then as you seek to teach this to other people, which I'm really encouraging people to start discipling, not just hear the word for themselves and receive it, but share it with other people, which is making disciples. This study guide is just geared towards that. There's a CD-ROM on the inside that you can actually reproduce the question portions of this. What it is, there's a page or two of just statements, and you sit down and you read this with the people in your Bible study group or whatever. And then there's a couple of pages of questions, and with each question, there's scriptures that you turn to the scriptures and look them up, and the scriptures answer the question. So it's not like this is hard, but it's built for discussion, interaction. And then there's a teacher's guide section that gives you more detail than what the pupils or the students get. And it's just a tremendous way to disciple people. And also, by just summarizing these 16 topics, then you could go through 16 weeks and summarize these topics and then go back and pick the one that the people seem to have the most interest in, and you could just start going through those. And I tell you, this would provide you with years and years and years worth of materials to be able to disciple other people. I'm really excited about that. Today I want to talk about, I think it's chapter number 12 in our 16 chapter book, and this is about harnessing your emotions. And I tell you, this is a big subject. Again, I could speak on this for months, but I'm just going to devote this one day to it. But your emotions are an important part of your life. I'm sure that everybody recognizes that. But here's what people don't recognize. People don't recognize that they have the ability to choose how they feel. I know that there's many of you right now that are just saying, no, that's not so. I cannot control this. Yes, you can, because the Scripture gives us commands. And God would have been unjust to give you commands about controlling your emotions if you couldn't do it. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Lord says that because you did not serve me with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore I am going to send you into captivity and judge you, and you will serve me with sorrow and grief and all these kind of things. But he held them accountable for their emotions. He said one of the reasons he was bringing judgment on them is because they didn't praise him and rejoice in the goodness that they had given him. Now, if emotions were just kind of an add-on, an addition to your life and not one of the core things, and if you did not have responsibility over your emotions or control over your emotions, God would be unjust to judge us for something that you can't control. Another scripture goes along with that. In the book of Deuteronomy, he says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your seed may live. God told you to choose blessing or cursing. He told you to choose good or evil. It's up to you. You can choose. This whole thing that you can't control yourself, I believe, comes because we have an increasingly secularization of our society. It's increasingly getting away from God and godly values. We have an increasing influence of psychology that basically is just saying that you're an evolved animal. They don't understand that we were created in the image of God, that we have ability to do things beyond an evolved animal. And they'll even condemn you. There are psychologists that'll tell you, you need to vent and you need to let all of your emotions out. You don't need to suppress or deny anything. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things you need to deny. You need to deny your desire to kill another person, to commit suicide. You need to deny your desire to go live in adultery and to hurt other people and gossip and talk about them. And there's things that you shouldn't be venting, and you shouldn't vent all of your feelings and emotions either. You know, in case you hadn't figured it out, I am not a proponent of psychology. I've even got some people who are psychologists who are friends of mine, and they take my materials. I've got one lady that when people come into her office, she shows them my materials. She's got all of my teachings, books, CDs and things, and she says, you can either receive these free of charge through Andrew Womack, and you can deal with this problem, or you can pay me $150 an hour or whatever the charge is, and I'll tell you psychology. It says, this will help you, though. And there are Christian psychologists, but psychology in its root form is not a godly thing. For instance, the word psychology is a compound word between the word psyche and ology. The word ology means the study of, and Psyche was the name of the Roman god of the soul. So the word psychology is talking about the study of the soul. Psychology doesn't acknowledge that you have a third part, that you can be born again and changed at a heart level. All they do is deal with your outward part, and they treat you like you're nothing but an evolved animal. I know many of you don't like this, and you're entitled to your opinion, but I'm not going to agree with you or we'll both be wrong. I'm telling you that the Word of God teaches you can become a brand new creation. You are created in the image of God, and you can choose. Those verses I've already used. He says, choose life or death, blessing or cursing. Jesus, in the 14th chapter of the book of John, he told his disciples the night before his crucifixion, they were going to see him arrested, beaten, treated unjustly, crucified, dead, and buried in just hours. And he told them, and it says in the 13th chapter of John, right before he said these words, it says he knew all things that were coming upon him. And he turned to his disciples and he says, let not your heart be troubled. Psychology today would say that's unfair, that's unjust. You're condemning people. You're making them feel like it's their fault. Well, I'm not saying that every negative feeling or emotion that comes against you is something that you chose and wanted it, but you haven't understood your authority and power to be able to resist it and overcome it. And so in that sense, it is our fault. We can defend and we can keep our emotions stayed on God, and we can do what the Word says, like in Psalms 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Or in Philippians chapter 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You can do that. Psychology, and not just psychology, but our world today is saying, no, you can't do that. Even a large segment of Christianity is saying that God puts this sadness on you and burdens you and does all of this stuff. And it's not true. The Bible says over in Peter, it's 1 Peter 1:8, it says, but believing we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you are truly believing God, there will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. If there isn't joy unspeakable and full of glory, you aren't believing. You may be a nice person. You may be a good person. You may not be living a sinful life, but you aren't believing God. You aren't looking at things through the eyes of Scripture, or you would be rejoicing and full of glory. That's what the Scripture says. So he told his disciples the night before his crucifixion, don't let your heart be troubled. In saying that, he showed that they had authority. They had control. They could have rejoiced instead of being fearful and troubled and sorrow and grief. And then he ended his whole teaching to the disciples there in John 16:33. This is the same night, the last thing he said to them before they went out to the Mount of Olives so he could pray. He says, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus right there put it all in one verse. He says, you are going to have trouble, but that doesn't mean you have to be troubled. You can be of good cheer. Matter of fact, he gave a command, but be of good cheer. It's a command from God. You do not have to fall apart like a $2 suitcase in the trials and the pressures of this world. You can choose to rejoice. And I know that there are many of you just fighting and saying, no, that's not so, because you take a lot of comfort in the fact that you're only human and that you can't control this. And so you just kind of, you give in to it and you want people to pity you. I have compassion for you. I love you, and that's why I'm telling you the truth. But I'm telling you, you can get up. David was in the 1 Samuel chapter 30, was in a situation for at least 13 years since God touched his life and anointed him to be king over Israel. Everything in his life had gone wrong. His father-in-law had taken his wife away from him and given her to another man, had tried to kill him. He had nearly been killed who knows how many times. He was having to live in exile. He had had to act like he was crazy and let the spit run off of his beard and scribble on a wall to make people think he had lost his mind so they wouldn't kill him. He had been humiliated. He had been chased. He had had trouble. And he was in exile, and he came back with his men, and his city had been burned. And all of the wives and children were taken captive. You can read this, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And on top of all of the troubles he had, his men were so troubled that they were going to kill him. They were talking about stoning him to death. Now, if those things had happened to you for 13 years, and the only light you'd ever seen at the end of the tunnel was another train, how many of you would be able to sit there and be able to handle that? Matter of fact, most people would think, I am absolutely, totally justified in just quitting and giving up right here. But you know what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6? It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In the midst of a situation that I can guarantee you 100% of the people watching this program would feel completely justified in being depressed and discouraged, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And the next verse says that he called for the ephod. This is before they had the scriptures written out the way that we have them. The individual people didn't have copies of them. But the ephod was the way you inquired of God. So in a sense, he turned to the Word of God. He wanted a word from God, and he encouraged himself. And it was only a matter of hours until all of his dreams came to pass. If he would have given up and have let depression have the dominance over him, he would have missed his entire life calling. And I'm telling you that there are many of you that the world and the circumstances of this world are just beating you to a pulp, and you have given in. You feel justified in having a pity party. I'm not saying that you don't have problems, but I am saying that especially if you are born again, especially if you have the Holy Spirit within you, which Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, you've got more than enough to be able to encourage yourself in the Lord and to come out on top, and you can harness your emotions. And some of you think, well, why would I want to? Some of you honestly feel like that sometimes it's just good to get down and gripe and complain and have a pity party. I've been there. I've felt that way. But I'm telling you, your emotions are not just a byproduct. It's not like the caboose on the train. It's the engine. Look at this passage in James chapter 1. In verse 13, he says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Notice the terminology here in verses 14 and 15. It says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. The word lust here doesn't mean what most people today use it as. We have a connotation on the word lust that it applies only to an illicit sexual feeling. It's not limited to that. Matter of fact, Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." The Holy Spirit lusts, not with an illicit sexual desire. The word lust at its core literally means a desire, a strong desire. As a matter of fact, it was translated that way in these verses, James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 in the NIV. It's just talking about your desire, or you could say your emotions. So look at this again. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust," or desire, or emotions. And then it says in the next verse that when lust or desire or emotions hath conceived, it brings forth sin. See, most Christians don't understand that your emotions aren't the caboose. They don't just follow along. Your emotions are where sin is conceived. If you allow negative emotions, you know, I pray that nobody's offended by this, but I'm just using the same terminology that the Scripture uses right here and trying to get my point across, and this makes it very well. But every time you give in to depression and discouragement and negative emotions, it's like having intercourse with the devil. You are conceiving something, and it will give birth to sin. That's what these verses are saying. Again, most people think, "Oh no, my emotions are just a byproduct. This person said this, and so I can't feel anything but this." No, you can. Let not your heart be troubled. You can bless the Lord at all times. You can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You can do what's right. And if you don't, and if you allow these negative emotions, you have allowed the devil to plant a seed in your life that is going to germinate and produce a sin that you don't want. People think that just, you know, sin comes upon them like a seizure. You don't know where it came from. It just, boom, it happens. It's like you sin the way that you catch a cold. Somebody around you sneezes and then you catch it. But no, sin, according to James 1:15, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin has to be conceived, and it's conceived in your emotions. And so if you indulge negative emotions, because it's easier to just lay down and suck your thumb and have a pity party than it is to stand up and act like a man or a woman and say, "I will bless the Lord at all times. I will encourage myself in the Lord." You know, in David's situation, it would have been much easier to just let him stone you, get it over with. But you know what? That is not the right thing to do. It's always easier to just give up. But I can tell you, you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Do you know, there was a situation where I went to Pritchett, Colorado. It's a long story. But I went to a little tiny church. It had less than a dozen people in the church. It was only a town of 144 people. And I left a church where things were going good, things were growing. It looked like we were going to survive. And I left all of that to go to this little place, Pritchett, Colorado, which was 30 miles from the nearest town that had about 1,000-something people in it. And I mean, I went out into the middle of nowhere, gave my life and laid it down for these people. And within a very short period of time, boy, they turned on me. I had people criticizing me, saying I was of the devil, saying I was stealing money, saying I was having sexual affairs, I was drinking, I was doing drugs. Anything they could think of, they just said it. And man, I was upset and I just wanted to gripe. I was going to have a pity party. I had sent out all of my invitations. All of the demons in Baca County, Colorado had shown up. And I was just waiting on the boys and my wife to go to bed and go to sleep so I could go down into the basement and just have a pity party and moan and groan and gripe. And I actually was looking forward to it. I thought I owed it to myself. I thought I'd feel better if I just let it all out. And while I was waiting on everybody to go to sleep, I just sat there and I opened up my Bible. I turned over to Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And the Lord started reminding me that in my spirit, I'm not discouraged. In my spirit, I'm not bitter. In my spirit, I'm not hurt. I've got love, joy, and peace. And I can either choose to operate in the spirit and praise God, or if I get into the flesh, I am just opening up a door to the devil that's going to allow him to come in and eat my lunch and pop the bag. And you know what? I didn't want to do what was right. I wanted to get down and gripe. But thank God that He reminded me of these truths. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And by the time everybody went to bed, I went down into the basement and I just started praising God and thanking God for all the good things He was doing. Quit looking at the criticisms and started praising Him for what He was doing. And I just had a tremendous time. And I'm telling you that I don't care who you are. I don't care what's going on. You can rejoice. You can praise God regardless of what's going on. And if you would look at James chapter 1, your emotions are not optional. They are not just the byproduct. It's where you conceive things. You would think it totally irresponsible if a woman had sexual relationship just constantly and yet never wanted to be pregnant, never took any birth control, never did any preventative stuff, and she just constantly got pregnant and then she aborted and aborted all of these children. We would look at that as Christians and say, that's murder. That's wrong. You can't do that. And many of you would sit there and say, well, no, that's not the right way to do it. And yet, did you know that in a spiritual sense, this is what we do? We just allow negative emotions, discouragement, bitterness, hurt, and pain, and we indulge those things. We embrace them. Every time you do, you are conceiving something. That's what James 1:15 says. And then you try and abort it before it becomes an action that gets you in trouble. That's like a spiritual abortion. That is not the way to do it. If you don't want to have children, quit having physical relationship. If you don't want to commit sin, quit indulging negative emotions that conceive sin. Sin doesn't come on you like a seizure. It has to be conceived, and it's conceived in your emotions. If you don't start controlling your emotions, you will never win out over your actions. Actions are a result of emotions. How you feel in your heart is going to determine how you act in your body. Boy, those are some powerful truths. And again, I'm offering this to you to encourage you because most people have not heard the truth. We've been lied to and told that I can't control my emotions. You can. And I've got it in this book. I'd like to encourage you to get this book. And then also we have an entire teaching that expounds on it further that's entitled Harnessing Your Emotions. But this new book is entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, and it not only deals with your emotions but 15 other subjects. And I promise you this would be a tremendous help to you. And again, I would like to encourage you that if you're receiving deliverance and help through this, please get the study guide and share this with other people. It's in a format that you can't lose. It'd be easy to do. Listen to our announcer as he gives you some information about how to get the book and the study guide, and then call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's newest book, titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is available for a gift of any amount. This book is unlike any other Andrew has ever written. Rather than one topic, it contains 16 of Andrew's most powerful teachings. Each is condensed into a single chapter, making this the most comprehensive collection of life-changing messages we've ever offered. Contact us today to get your copy. Or, if you prefer, you can order Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword on DVD as seen on TV. This series has over 7 hours of life-changing teaching. The entire DVD series is available for a gift of any amount. There's also a new Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword workbook available for a gift of $35 or more. The workbook works well in conjunction with the DVD series, offering the opportunity for deeper study of the biblical principles Andrew presents in his teaching. Or you can get all three of these products by ordering the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package. This package includes the brand new book, the As Seen on TV DVD series, and the workbook. The entire package has a catalog value of $79. But today, you can get the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package for a gift of just $69 or more. A single DVD containing the third week's broadcast of this series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third DVD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, April 14th through the 16th, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, for a Gospel Truth seminar, May 5th through the 7th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock Church of Atlanta, Sunday, May 8th, in the U.K. for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on July the 4th through the 8th for our Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs. And it goes through Monday night through Friday night, July the 4th through the 8th. We have children's ministry. We will have 3 hours worth of classes in our Caris Bible College in the mornings on Tuesday through Friday. And it's just going to be a great time for the entire family. It's a great time to be in Colorado in the summer. You'd love it. So it's going to be Monday through Friday, July the 4th through the 8th, the Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs.
Andrew and Jamie Womack would like to invite you to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder. Foundation builders are a special group of ministry partners that contribute financially, providing a firm foundation for building the lives of Caris Bible College world changers and making disciples who will carry the almost too good to be true news of God's love and grace around the world. Phase 1 has been funded and completed, and Phase 2 is now gearing up. Discover how you can help change lives by logging on to www.awmi.net/partnership. Change your life. Change the world. Invest yourself in Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today.